Good morning, Emmanuel.
Good morning.
I would like to welcome everyone to this morning service. And I would also like to welcome any visitors who are amongst us this morning. Please make yourselves known to me or the stewards after the service. And special welcome to Reverend Tony Burns, who will be leading this morning service. And also hello to those listening through recording. I hope you feel part of Emmanuel. The Bible reader this morning is Pam Weston, and the reading will be taken from the New Testament, from the book of Matthew. Most of the notices can be found in the weekly news, but I've got few additionals. Just to say that today you might see that there's only one side where we've got the hymns list. Oh, it's there now. Thank you. Sorry about that. Thank you. And just to say that after the service, tea and coffee will be served in the hall, and please let us come and join together for the tea and coffee. And also this afternoon, there will be a tea service starting at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Please, if we can attend this tea service, it would be nice for us to share whatever which is going to be before us. I will now light the Christ candle as we remain in silence, preparing for the service.
Come to the God of welcome who invites us to a place of safety and healing. Come to the God of salvation who challenges us to work for justice and freedom. Come to the God of holiness who makes the earth a sacred space. Come and be made one people in the reconciling love of God. Let us worship God, the hymn numbered 33, Eternal God, Your Love's Tremendous Glory.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Dear God, we do not come into your presence because you have journeyed with us. But now as we gather, we do indeed celebrate that you are with us all our days in creative love. At the beginning, you called all creation into being, and the breath of life breathed by you from time eternity and to time eternity, and yet in this moment gives us life. Dear God, we adore you, we praise you, and we acknowledge the limitations of words to do justice to your glory. And yet, together we come as we must, because your call is insistent, your call into life in all its fullness, and the call of your realm of justice and peace, eternal and yet to be realized here in time, incarnated. And so, O God, as we rejoice in your presence and the love from which nothing in death nor in life can separate us, so too we yearn for that completion, which we know is your will and purpose for us, for all humanity and for all creation, and we confess our common share in the fracturing of creation and of life. We are sorry, O God, for our distraction from your will and purpose and from that great vision of creation whole. For all that we say and think and all that we do that tends in the opposite direction and focuses on us rather than on you, our needs rather than the needs of others, our own ways rather than the ways of creation whole, complete in your love. And we come, O God, because we have understood through Jesus Christ our Lord the infinity of your grace. We cannot despair of ourselves because you do not give us up. And so as we plead mercy, O God, we ask for renewal. Grant us fresh dreams and renewed hope that we indeed, being one with you in Jesus Christ, may by all that we are in the living of our lives, enhance, contribute to that wholeness for all people, near and far, and the wholeness of your creation. We rejoice that you speak to us in this moment, not words of alienation, but words of grace and forgiveness. And now, O God, like a mother, you give us new life and make us your children in Jesus Christ. Look on us in your love and bring us to the inheritance which you promised. Grant this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. The hymn numbered 380, Christ Whose Glory Fills the Skies. Please turn to number 733 in the hymn book as we read responsively our psalm for this morning. Number 733 in the hymn book, verses from Psalm 145. And as always, of course, the words in darker print are for all, as you will, to say together. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. The Lord is loving to everyone. All your works praise you, O Lord. They make known the glory of your kingdom, that the peoples may know of your power. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom.
Your dominion endures throughout all ages.
The Lord is faithful in all his works.
And merciful in all his deeds.
The Lord upholds those who fall.
He lifts up those who are bowed down.
The eyes of all wait upon you, O Lord.
And you
give them their food in due season. You open wide your hand. The Lord is righteous in all his ways.
And loving in all his works.
The Lord is near to those who call upon him.
To all who call upon him faithfully.
He fulfills the desire of those who fear him.
He hears their cry.
My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord. Amen. The anthem, God So Loved the World, from Steiner's Crucifixion. As ever, we are grateful to the choir for leading us. We hear the gospel for the day.
The reading is from Matthew chapter 20, verses 1 to 16, and is on page 20. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire labourers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the labourers for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. When he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and he said to them, "You also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. When he went out again about noon and about 3 o'clock, he did the same. And about 5 o'clock he went out and found others standing around. And he said to them, "Why are you standing here idle all day?" And they said to him, "Because no one has hired us." He said to them, "You also go into the vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, "Call the labourers and give them their pay, beginning with the last, and then going to the first." When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Now when the first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, "These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us, who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat." But he replied to one of them, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous?" So the last will be first, and the first will be last. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
And may my words and all our thoughts be acceptable to you, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. And from the end of that gospel reading set for this day, "Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous?" I went to my very first appointment as a Methodist minister straight from college in 1970 to an ex-industrial village a few miles south of Manchester on the Cheshire-Derbyshire-Greater Manchester border. I was never quite sure which county I was in, really, but I think it was Cheshire. And this is a story, a true story, told to me by one of the worshippers, members of one of my churches, the village where I lived. And this woman came from a very well-off Methodist family. Her father had owned a thriving cotton mill somewhere in the Cheshire, Derbyshire, Lancashire borders. During the economic depression of the 1930s, early on, with his business hemorrhaging money, he did, of course, the rational thing. He shut up shop and cut his losses. As a result, most of the people in that semi-rural area were thrown into subsistence living. And he, his wife and children, continued to worship among them, some of them, at his local Methodist cause, where he became acutely aware of the suffering of his fellow Methodists in that church and the reason for it. They were his community, along with others in that village. Conscience stricken, and believing that charity was never enough, he determined to restart the business and to continue for as long as was possible so that all could share the capital until it ran out, which it did. The dignity and the sense of shared community, shared humanity of that community was to that degree preserved. They were all in it together, including the entrepreneur who owned the economic engine at the heart of it. Now, that member of my church, all those years ago, along with the rest of her siblings, brothers, sisters, and of course her parents, lost her inheritance, which might have been considerable. But I remember her telling me the story, I think, more ruefully and wryly than bitterly, and with great love and respect for her father. Now, my friends, all sorts of things are going through your mind if you're still with me. So you be the judge. Was this a foolish businessman who recklessly threw away the chance to kickstart the economy and fortunes of that community later on, once the national picture improved? Was he therefore just short-sighted? Did he willfully jeopardize the futures of his children to satisfy his own self-righteousness, his own conscience? Can you recognize and admire real self-sacrificial compassion whilst at the same time lamenting an unwise way of demonstrating it? These may be, I don't know, are you among your thoughts in response to this employer's perhaps surprising way of dealing with the situation in which he found himself? Whatever else, however wise or unwise he was, did he have a right to do what he did? And did he show a generous spirit? Did he have a right to do what he did? And did he show a generous spirit? This is the gospel reading that we heard, have to say, so well and expressively read to us a moment ago, this story in Matthew. A gospel reading, the parable of the owner of the vineyard who went out to hire laborers at different times of the day. The story may be very familiar to us. He pays each of them exactly the same amount of money, irrespective of the number of hours that they worked. And guess what? Guess what? He gets both his ears well and truly bent by those who did the longest stretch. It's not fair, they point out. Rationally, you might think. It's not fair. The employer asks them this question. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Well, could it be just possible? Just possible that you're just a little bit envious because I am generous. Now, it's quite clear from the way he put the question that we know where he stands. Could just as well have been making a statement. I can do what I choose with what is mine, and you are envious because I am generous. That's the truth of the matter. But he asks questions instead, because questions are designed to make you more self-aware, more honest with yourself. So, my friends, this is it not? This is one of those gospel narratives that we hear where whatever the preacher makes of it, however eloquent I am, or any of your own preachers, Robert or Jeff here, when he thunders at you from this pulpit, whatever we say, whatever we make of it, you will pass your own verdict. As, for example, with that scene of domesticity and piety when Martha, you may remember the story, gets on with making dinner all on her own whilst her sister Mary sits at Jesus' feet, drinking in his every word and leaving her sister to get on with it. Oh, I've preached on that a few times. Jesus sides with Mary, you may remember, when Martha complains. And we're a little bit conflicted because secretly we sympathise with Martha. And I don't know Jeff's experiences, but certainly whenever I've preached on that story at the end of the service, there's always one or two people that come up to you and say, well, I think Martha was right. Of course. And then, of course, in the story of the prodigal son, the elder boy complains to his father, who has thrown a feast for his younger lad, who has returned home after, I quote, wasting his inheritance on prostitutes. So he had a good time. Whereas he, the elder son, faithfully worked the family farm all his days and has received no such lavish reward, it would appear. We rejoice at paternal, forgiving love, because that's the point of the story. And we've preached on that a few times, those of us who presume to do that sort of thing. But at the same time, we think to ourselves secretly, well, the elder son deserved a bit better, really. He had a point. We may think to ourselves, and I remember a past minister of this church declaring to me that that's precisely what he thought, but I won't tell you which one. Now, be absolutely sure, my friends, that in this gospel narrative this morning, there is no suggestion whatsoever that the workers, the landowner, went to recruit in the dying hours of the shift, were chancers or scroungers or skivers or just taking advantage of a naive employer. If they were, the parable would make that clear. No. There are two sets of players here. There's the man hiring and the people he is taking on. The former, the man, decides to ensure that all who contribute to the economy of the vineyard and that society as a whole, receive enough to live on. And we can, without too much elaboration of the tale, add, in order to provide adequately for themselves and their families. He would know the ground rules in that town or region as he negotiates a fair wage. But then he does what no one would deny he has the legal right to do. He pays wages on this principle that everyone, whatever their circumstances, must share equally the fruits of the enterprise, must share equally in that local economy. However unfair it may appear to some people, or however envious they get. The latter group, the labourers, would most likely be members of something akin to what we would once have called a guild, a sort of informal union where they would accept the obligation to help one another if needs be. And here, in this tale, the one who pays them is indirectly reminding them of this, their responsibility, economically, socially, in community, to one another. He is reminding them of this. But more than that, that they should surely therefore wish all their colleagues who want to make their contribution as they can the freedom to live a full life without fear of want. Now, initially, the owner of the vineyard is called in the Greek of the New Testament here a householder. When we get to the end of the story, he's called the Lord of the Vineyard in the Greek. And this second title does not necessarily imply that we are meant to see him as God, but certainly tells us that he is acting here as God would act. This is of the nature and of the essence of God's realm, the kingdom of God, or in Matthew, the kingdom of heaven. This is the character of that realm. And therefore, we are to follow his example as a principle for living and for the governance of our economic affairs. This is not some hairy, fairy, other world lesson that we're being taught here. This is incarnated, down to earth, teaching and application. So, this story, today's gospel, does address us as we manage the resources and money we have, meager or more plentiful. And as you share, if you do, in the political life of the nation or general conversation about the way the world is, and when you vote, this story addresses me and you. And it challenges me and you at that level, in that context. And my friends, be sure of this. That mill owner in the story that congregant of mine all those years ago told me, that mill owner, his name shines brightly among the saints and angels in God's eternal realm, not because of his business acumen or cleverly managing to secrete his money away into some foreign investment fund immune from the obligation to share through taxation, or for that matter as a result of a life lived perfectly without moral blame or blemish, somehow above the compromises and doubts and fears that would have beset him and beset all of us. But as the Spirit of God, immeasurable, loving, giving, just and holy, the mind of Christ somehow took root in his life. That's why, friends, may we love God May we look to Christ. May we hear his words. May we choose life. Thanks be to God who loves and saves us now and for eternity. Amen. The hymn numbered 353, There's a Wideness in God's Mercy. My friends, some of you will be aware that last Thursday was the UN-sponsored International Day for Peace. And so we will say, if I can find it, or indeed remember it, in a moment at the beginning of our intercessions, the Universal Prayer for Peace, which some of you, like me, may pray daily. And if you know the words and are able to join in, then please do so. But first of all, I'd invite Maria to light the peace candle for us, please. Thank you. Friends, I will say the universal prayer for peace. I don't have the words in front of me, so I may get them wrong. But those of you who know that prayer well may like to put me right. Moment of quiet. Lead me from death to life, from falsehood to truth. Lead me from despair to hope, from fear to trust. Lead me from hate to love, from war to peace. Let peace fill our heart, our world, our universe. Peace, peace, peace. Now, prayers of intercession to the words, God, hear us, I invite you to respond. God, graciously hear us. God, help us in our prayers for the world and the church. Christ is the bread of life. We pray for those who are hungry, those whose lands have been seized or destroyed by war, the worst effects of the global warming crisis or natural disaster. Those bent down under the burden of debt, those struggling to survive on low incomes, give the bread of justice to feed those in material need, neighbours near and far. God, hear us. God, graciously hear us. Christ is the light of the world. We pray for those trapped in abuse and violence, those who suffer under oppressive regimes, those imprisoned without hope of justice or liberty. Let the light of your justice shine to bring freedom. God, hear us. Christ is the good shepherd. We pray for those in need of tenderness and care, remembering any known to us for whom we would more particularly pray at this time. For ourselves and those with whom we journey in the bonds of love. For all known to us who are ill or in pain, for those who care with compassion or wait in helpless love, for those who are vulnerable and afraid of the future. May your love lead them in the hope of healing. God, hear us. Christ is the living vine. We pray for the church, for unity and reconciliation where there is division, for justice and love to take precedence over doctrine and dogma, for renewed vision in worship and witness. May your people find life in union with you. God, hear us. Christ is the way, the truth, the life. We pray for the knowledge of your love, for direction for those seeking to follow your way, for clarity for all those seeking meaning and purpose, for life and freedom for all whom you have made. May your life in all its fullness be known in this your world. We pray for the peace Christ gives as we journey on together in hope of fullness of life with those whom we love and with all the saints in your coming reign. God, hear us. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Now we receive our offering. I've forgotten how we do it. Do we collect it first or is it just brought forward? We do collect it. Every church these days is different, which is not good for befuddled minds of the aged like mine. Gifts you shower upon us, O God, gifts of money, possessions, and these gifts too of bread and wine, and in all and with all the showering upon us of your grace, your infinite generosity. So in the sharing this day, may we be thankful, and may we realize again the reality of your realm in our midst and for all humankind. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. We say together the grace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with you all.
be with us now and forevermore. Amen.
Let's just go then. Communion hymn numbered 635. Put peace into each other's hands. Custom to stand or sit? Obviously to sit. Okay. Praise you, gracious Father, our Maker and Sustainer. You created the heavens and the earth and formed us in your own image. Though we sinned against you, your love for us was constant. And you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to be the Saviour of the world. Sharing our human nature, he was born of Mary and baptized in the Jordan. He proclaimed your kingdom by word and deed, and was put to death upon the cross. You raised him from the dead, you exalted him in glory, and through him you have sent your Holy Spirit, calling us to be your people, a community of faith. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy God, we praise you that on the night in which he was betrayed, our Saviour Christ took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it, gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for all people, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Remembering therefore his death and resurrection and proclaiming his eternal sacrifice, we offer ourselves to you in praise and thanksgiving as we declare the mystery of faith. Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Send down your Holy Spirit that these gifts of bread and wine may be for us the body and blood of Christ. Unite us with him forever and bring us with the whole creation to your eternal kingdom. Through Christ, with Christ, in Christ, in the power of the Holy Spirit, we worship you in songs of everlasting praise. Blessing and honor and glory and power be yours forever and ever. Amen. The things of God for God's holy people. Amen. Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Happy are those who are called to his supper. Lord, we are not worthy to receive you, but only say the word, and we shall be healed. Amen. body of Christ given for us, keep us in eternal life. Amen. Blood of Christ shed for us. Amen. We thank you, Lord, that you have fed us in this sacrament, united us with Christ, and given us a foretaste of the heavenly banquet prepared for all people. Amen. Thank you. Would you like to return the glasses? The hymn numbered 463. Now let us from this table rise. Our windswept lives, shelter us today in the lee of your presence. Still our blustering insecurities, our stormy protests, our billows of indignation, our squalls of regret. Give us harbour time in the deep, calm, safe water of your grace and love. And the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit remain with us now and forevermore. Amen. Amen.